We have lots of announcements this morning, so I just need you to bear with me on all of the things that we need to talk about together. I am glad that you are here today. In just a second, we're going to make an announcement about some of the pastoral changes that are getting ready to happen at the end of June. But before I do that, I want us to talk about what's on everybody's mind, which is all of our COVID-19 and coronavirus issues that we're talking about as a community. Today, I'm making the announcement that we will not gather physically together in any capacity for the next at least 2 weeks. So we will be migrating everything to online forums. We are doing that particularly to care for those who are most vulnerable among us. And it may not be even people in this church. But Jesus has called us not only to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, but also to love our neighbor. And the best possible way we can do that now is to stop this thing from spreading. I know y'all who've been online and watching the news are hearing, and this is June has sort of taught me about this, about flattening the curve, right? What they're seeing, particularly in places right now that did not isolate themselves, is that their hospitals are overwhelmed. What we can do for one another and for those folks who might have the potential of being critically ill because of this is that if we isolate, we can make that spike less, right? And so that not as many people get sick all at one time. And then our hospitals and nurses and doctors are being able to care for people to the best of their ability. This is all new, right? I've never done this. I have no idea what I'm doing. I know many of you don't either, but I do believe that this is the most faithful response at this time. So next Sunday at 10:30, Ken and I are going to bring you something. I don't know what that's going to look like yet, but you will be able to get on Facebook, and we are going to be singing and doing some devotion and trying to be as interactive with you as possible. I know not all of you are on Facebook, and maybe you don't want to be. We'll send out a link to how you can do that online, even if you're not on Facebook. There is a way to do that, but I'm learning. I don't know that I've ever done that before. So our Bible studies will still happen, but those will also be either through Zoom calls or on Facebook Live. Zoom is a platform that I subscribed to this week for us, where people can call in by video, and you can still be face-to-face with folks through video. So you have access to do that, I believe, in lots of different ways, even in your own small group. So if you want to set something like that up for Sunday school or United Methodist Women or United Methodist Men, please let me know and we will work that out so that you have the capability to do that. However, there are some things that are canceled or at least suspended and being moved to different times. So, Lay Servant Ministry School that was supposed to happen next weekend here is not happening. Cookies for Kairos was in your bulletin today. They aren't allowing visitors into the prison, so please don't bring cookies. So they're not doing that right now. But everything else we're going to try to do in another way. It is very important that we have from you either an email address or, if you have it, a mobile number. The best way for us to get information out is either to email or to text you. If we don't have those things, it's almost impossible. If we don't have them, we'll make phone calls. But we like not to have to make, as you know, we want to get information out quickly. So if we don't have that information for you, or you know that there are people we don't have that information, tell your friends and neighbors to get that to us. Jamie actually might be making phone calls this week, going through our database and seeing who she doesn't have email addresses and mobile phones and actually calling them and asking for that information. So if you get a call from her, We're just trying to get our database as updated as possible so we can do this well and continue to care for people in the best way possible. I said in my letter, if you got my email, I sent out a letter and I said, every decision you make in your life always, but especially now, is the decision for you to point to Christ and point to his hope. And so I hope that we're not operating from fear, but from faith and care. How can you be faithful to Jesus Christ, and how can you care for your neighbor during this time? So I really would invite all of you to think about what that looks like in a time that's very different. It's going to take a lot of creativity from all of us to figure out how to operate and be the church. And so I invite you, if you have great ideas, to share them. And we'll do everything that we can to stay connected in whatever ways those are possible. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me after worship. And I'll make a note. I'm going to talk a little bit about the offering when we get to the offering today. in that vein, when we are going to pass the peace today, but I invite you to do it from your seats, not to move around, not to do hugs and kisses and, you know, just to wave. Or somebody said, well, Pam said curtsy, bow, you know, all the different ways that we can do that and show love for one another without getting too close. All right, I'm going to invite, I'm going to invite Sam Tanner to come and stand next to me. I'm going to make an announcement first, then he's going to make an announcement about our pastoral change that we have coming. So many of you know that I am going on personal leave starting in June. This was a decision that my husband and I made together for our family. We feel very called to be in the same worshiping community at this stage in our lives. We thought there was a chance that would mean Brad would stay at St. Andrew's Parish. That is not the case. Brad has been appointed to Bethel United Methodist Church in Spartanburg, South Carolina. So in the end of June, we will be moving to Spartanburg. It is a wonderful church, and we're very excited to be moving there, but it is a different reality for our family. And one that we were not particularly expecting. So we ask for your prayers during this time as we move and move our family, but also Sam is going to make an announcement about who is following me here at Cokesbury.
Good morning. The pastor that's been appointed to Cokesbury is Meejan Gossard. Her first name is spelled M-E-E-G-I-A-N, pronounced Meejan. Her last name is G-O-S-S-A-R-D. Pastor Meejan is single. She's originally from Aiken, South Carolina. Her home church is Trinity United Methodist Church in Aiken. She is presently the associate pastor at Littleton Street United Methodist Church in Camden, South Carolina. She was appointed there in June of 2017. Pastor Meejan graduated from Clemson University in 2013. With a bachelor's degree in psychology. She then attended Chandler School of Theology at Emory University, where she graduated with a master's degree in divinity. She graduated from Emory in 2017. She loves music, she plays the clarinet, and she was also in the marching band at Clemson while she was there. The moving day for United Methodist Church pastors is June the 24th. And Pastor Meejan first Sunday with us will be on June the 28th.
All right. I personally am excited about Meejin coming. She is somebody that I have gotten to know through the Board of Ordained Ministry. She's a really smart young woman. And I think that you are going to love her. Actually, I know you're going to love her because I know how you love. I know who you are. And so I know that you are going to love her. And I know that she will love you. I cried the other day. I'm going to do it again. On Monday, everybody got their packets, right? It's a weird system. Everybody got their packet and found out where they were going. And before I knew it was her, I told Brad, I said, somebody today found out they were going to be the new pastor at Cokesbury. And I said, they don't know how lucky they are. They have no idea. But I will say that I know that she is very excited. And I think she has a clue about how lucky she is. And so I love you. I'm going to pray. Can we pray? God, particularly in this time of transition for this church, we ask your blessing on these people. We are so, so grateful for your love for us and the way that we have been able to do ministry. And we know that that will continue. We ask your blessing upon Pastor Meejin, that you would fill her with all of your gifts and graces, particularly the ones that Cokesbury needs the most in these times. We know, Lord, that you are at work in every decision that is made. And so we ask that you give us the strength to trust and to do your work in all of the ways that is necessary. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us center ourselves for worship this morning before we begin with our call to worship. Let us stand for our call to worship. Let us sing to God who knows the depths of the sea. May the Spirit pour God's love into our hearts. Let us sing to God who fills the clouds with rain. May the Spirit pour God's love into our hearts. Let us sing to God who brings forth water in the desert. May the Spirit pour God's love into our hearts. And let us sing to God who separated the sea and the land. May the Spirit pour God's love into our hearts. The passing of the peace is an ancient practice. This is why we still do it in worship. And I know we have to do it differently today. But I invite you to turn to your neighbor and to share the peace of Christ with them in whatever way that you feel comfortable doing this morning. Let us share the peace of Jesus Christ.
That's not fair. I hate this. Give me big hugs.
One more time.
That life abundantly.
Let's say welcome.
Welcome
into this place.
Into this place.
Come on, let's welcome the Lord in.
Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands as we lift our hearts, as we offer up this praise unto your name.
Can we worship and welcome him in?
Into this place.
Come on, say welcome.
Welcome into this broken vessel.
You desire
to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our this praise unto your name.
Can we worship this morning? Say welcome.
Welcome
into this place.
Into this place. Welcome into this place. Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to in the praises of your people, as we lift our hands, as we lift our hearts, as we offer up this praise unto your name.
Come on, as we lift them,
so as we lift. This praise unto your name.
Can we lift our hands and worship? Come on, do it.
As we lift our hands, as we lift our hearts, as we offer up this praise unto your name. As we lift our hands, as we lift our hearts, as we offer up this praise unto your name.
As we offer up this praise.
As we offer up this praise unto your name.
He deserves the praise. Come on, say it.
As we offer up this praise unto your name.
Good teacher God, you gather us to bless and be blessed because we cannot have one without the other. You teach us how to gently do this in your strength. We offer you praise because you guide our thoughts and hearts, so we may guide others toward your loving presence. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated, and I invite the children to come forward this morning for our children's message.
Thank you. There it goes. I should know how to work that by now, shouldn't I? Tell me, have you ever been thirsty? Really, really thirsty? What made you thirsty? What makes you thirsty? When you're outside, like when it gets hot and you've been running. What makes you thirsty, Kit? I know, on the playground, that can make you really thirsty, right? What about you, Trace? Anything made you thirsty? Playing? Well, I got some that I bet would make you thirsty. What if you ate this whole bag of crackers? Would you be thirsty? We'll have some in a minute. Would it make you thirsty, though? Uh-oh, that was though. I'll put them back in here. We'll have some in just a minute. But that would make you thirsty, wouldn't it? What would you drink? Lemonade? Lemonade's good, right? What else? How about some Gatorade? You know Gatorade people that make this say it's better than water. But you know what? It's hard to believe that anything would be better than water. And I have some water back there for us. And when you see it, it's in a glass pitcher and it has ice and it's all frosty on the outside. Could there be anything better than that when you're thirsty? Not really, huh? Well, you know, one day Jesus was at a well, because back in Jesus' time, they didn't have sinks and faucets. You had to get water out of a well. And so he asked a lady to get him some water. And do you know what else he told her? He said, I can give you living water, and you will never be thirsty again. Now, you know, no matter how great Gatorade is, you're going to get thirsty again, right? No matter how good that pitcher of water back there looks, you're still going to be thirsty. So what did Jesus mean when he said that he is the living water and you would never be thirsty again? That's kind of hard to imagine. But what he meant is that once you have Jesus, you have life and you will have life forever, right? He's the living water. So that's going to be our Bible verse together. Jesus is the living water. Everybody's after my cookies. Oh, my goodness. Here, you want to carry them to the back for me? I'll let you carry them. I'll give them to the... Okay, first let's bow our heads and pray. Do you want to pray for us, Millie? All right, we're going to pray, and then we're going to have some cookies, okay? Millie's going to pray for us.
Dear God, I wish everybody has good feeling in their body to be thirsty and to be not thirsty. Amen.
This morning we're reading from Psalm 95, a call to worship and obedience. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land, which his hand has formed. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Master. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his land. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah or on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your ancestors tested me and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years, I loathed that generation and said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not regard my ways. Therefore, in my anger, I swore, they shall not enter my rest. The reading of God's word for God's people.
Our scripture this morning is from Matthew, and it is Jesus's longest sermon, maybe really in many ways his only sermon we have recorded in the Gospels. We have his teachings, but this is really something a little different that he does that's longer, and he spends lots of time with the people on the Mount of Beatitudes in Galilee. And this is what he says there. And this is just a small portion of this sermon. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So Jesus spent almost all of his ministry in Galilee. And so we have a video. It doesn't have any sound. We're going to turn the sound off because I'm sort of going to talk over it for a little bit. And this video was taken on the banks of the Sea of Galilee. This was the exact, well, probably the beach where Jesus cooked his disciples' breakfast after his resurrection. They've erected a church there called the Primacy of St. Peter. And you can see how lovely in the morning the Sea of Galilee looks. It was a really beautiful place to choose to spend 3 years of ministry. Right around that sea are tiny little towns and different places. And so Jesus spent most of his ministry walking up and down that coast. And what he did in those places is that he taught and he healed. He taught and he healed. And so next week we're going to talk about Jesus being a healer. But this week I want to talk about Jesus being a teacher. The way that he gathered in these communities and he taught them. Right on this coastline is one of the highest spots that's not in this video, that they have also placed another church called the Church of the Beatitudes. And it is the place that they've said this was probably a likely place for Jesus to have gone up that mountain. And I say mountain, it's sort of just a big hill, right? And has gone up there, and he went there in order to teach the crowds of people who had gathered to hear him. And so when he gathered in that place on that day, he wanted to teach the people something important. And I have some thoughts about the Beatitudes. I'm always surprised that we put up the Ten Commandments in places and not the Beatitudes in places. I think the Beatitudes are that important. That when Jesus sat down to really teach something and spent a long time discussing, this is what he talked about. And really what he talked about and who he wanted people to understand were really important, and who we needed to pay attention to were the most vulnerable. Think about that. Jesus sat crowds of people down and he talked about the people who were blessed. And who did he mention? The poor, or the poor in spirit? Those who mourn, who are sad? Those who are meek or humble? Those who are hungry or hunger and thirst for righteousness? Those who are merciful? Those who are pure in heart? Those who are peacemakers? Those who are persecuted? These are the folks that Jesus lifts up. He said, these people need special attention from me, and they need special attention from those who love me. Jesus wanted us to know what our role is. That we are blessed in order to be a blessing. We are blessed in order to be a blessing. Jesus wanted to those people who know who are going through difficult things. He wanted to teach that it's going to be okay, that I am with you, that I have not forgotten you. I am not going to leave you. You have a blessing. And for those of us that at any given time fit into some of those categories or not, that is comforting. It doesn't mean that if we don't fit into those categories that we're not blessed. But Jesus has another and important role for us in those times. So Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? I don't even know if salt actually ever loses its taste. Have you ever tasted salt that doesn't taste like salt? I haven't, personally. But what Jesus is trying to say is, if you have a purpose, just like salt does. Your purpose is to season things, to add something to it. So last night, who bought my sriracha salt at Make, Bake, and Grow? Okay. So last night I was for dinner, I cooked collards, and I threw some sriracha salt in there. Brad comes around and says, did you put some salt in there? I said, yeah, I did. I watched him pour another, like, ton of sriracha salt. I was like, I told you I already done that. So we had these flavorful collards last night with all the sriracha salt in them. But what that does is it made us know that, like, we'd taken time to, like, prepare them, right? To make them good, to make them enjoyable, to make them something that we wanted to eat. And that's what salt does, and that's what Jesus says is our role. We are to fulfill the role in our life that gives something good flavor, so that it's enjoyable, so that people want more of it. To put care into the things that we do so that people think, oh, that was made with love, right? That's who we are called to be. And Jesus says, if you're not doing it, you're useless. It is literally what he says. If you're not doing what you are called to do, if you are not making things taste better in the world, you're useless. How are we being a blessing to the most vulnerable people among us? This is what he is trying to teach in this moment. How are we blessing the poor and those who mourn and the meek and those who are hungry and thirsty, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted? And then he also talks to us about being the light. Being the light of the world. He says, you are the light of the world, a city built on a hill, so that when your light shines, people see you. You don't take a light and hold it under a bushel. Instead, you show it and you shine it. And each of us has a role to play in being the light in the world. And I would say that in these days right now, that is even a stronger call than ever. We are Christians who have faith, who have hope in eternal life, that in the face of death and illness, we believe in a God who is a healer and who resurrects. But y'all, not everyone knows that or believes it. Imagine going through scary times in our world as we are, with people getting sick and people dying, and not knowing those things. not claiming and holding on to them. That's your job, to be a light to those people, to be a hopeful person, to show your faith, to share it with others, to do all you can to let them know that there is someone who loves them, someone who died for them, someone who will raise them up and resurrect them. That is what it means for us to be a light. To be a light and not let it be hidden. But I know there are times when we hide our light. There are times when we hold our tongue because we think somebody's going to think I'm crazy if I interject this right here. There are times when we say things that have more of a negative bend to them than a positive one. There are times when we show more fear than we do faith. And it's in those times that we're putting that basket over our light instead of shining it where we can. Let your light shine, Jesus teaches his people. Jesus teaches the crowd to let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. I invite you to be salt and light. Think about it. Think about every decision you make. Am I being salt? Am I being light? Am I being a blessing to the most vulnerable? Am I displaying the kind of care and concern for people that Jesus did? Is that what I'm doing? Or am I useless? I don't think any of you are useless. I don't believe that. I do not believe it. So I invite you to bring flavor and brightness and love and compassion and care and concern into the world today, tomorrow, next week, next month, and for always. Let us pray. Lord God, it is only through the power of your Holy Spirit that we can do your good work. And so we ask that you would fill us with that Spirit so that we are strong enough, brave enough, caring enough to do your will, to be salt and light. Not to hide ourselves away, but in whatever way possible to be a blessing to others. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. I would like to invite you, if you would like to come and kneel at the offer this morning, that you can come and do so in this time. Thank you.
God, we come before you. We come on our knees humbly asking for your healing in our presence, for your peace in our world. Lord God, we pray for those in our communities who are ill, and particularly we pray, God, for Butch Barfield, for Judy's daughter, Catherine. We pray for Pam Ridgway. And we pray for all of those, Lord, who are facing new diagnosis, but particularly those who are finding out that they have the coronavirus. We pray for all of those communities in the world who are facing new realities, even our own. Help us to trust in your healing power. God, we pray for our leaders throughout the world and here in the United States and in South Carolina and our communities, that as they make difficult decisions, that you would give them the strength and the peace they need to do what is right and faithful. And we pray for our community here. We pray for Cokesbury that in a time of transition, that we would recall all of our blessings and know deep down how much we have to give and share with others. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We will not be passing the offering plate today. There is an offering plate all the way in the back. So I invite you to put your offering in there when you leave. I also would like to invite you to think very seriously about signing up to give online. Even though we may not be meeting in person, like, we're still going to be working and doing the work and doing all kinds of things. And so we want to be able to weather the storm as a church in the best way possible. You can send in a physical check. There will be people here to do that and to make deposits and do all those things. But it will make it so much easier if you decide that you want to migrate to an online giving situation. Not only can you do it by text, but there is a button on the bottom of our website that says online giving, and so you can give there as well. That does not cost us any extra money to do that. And so we invite you to think about that. You can go to our website, or you can text, and you can text this number a certain amount, but you can also do a recurring gift this way. So we invite you to think about that in the coming weeks. Let us praise God with our tithes and offerings at some point this morning. stand. Responsively, we connect to one another because of grace. We belong to one another. Even strangers or enemies are like family to us because we are all part of God's plan and promises. We belong to one another. We share with one another because we have everything we need. We belong to one another. God, use these gifts and this sacrifice of our time and talent to lavish your love on the whole family of God. We belong to one another. Amen. Our closing hymn is He Leadeth Me. As Ken said, this is exactly the song we need as we go out today. We need God to be leading us during these times. Website. We've got a little button at the very top that's going to have all, you can click there and find all the updates and how to connect and all the different ways. So please do that so that you can stay up on what's happening. Tune in whatever way it's going to be. It'll be on the website next week. Pam even said she's got some interactive stuff she's going to do for kids through our Facebook page. So just keep paying attention to what's going on.
And we are going to continue to be the church, right? The church is not a building. What is the church? It is the body of Christ, right? It is us. So wherever we are at, even if it's in our homes, we are the body of Christ, and we will be the church. So go now with this benediction. May the love of God surround you. May the peace of Christ surround you, and may the joy of the Holy Spirit surround you as you go on your way, both now and forever and forever and forevermore. Amen.